This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
We're back here on 96.5 The Fan. The NFL playoffs start on Saturday, end on Monday. Lots of good action coming forward in football. What, five straight days of football we get, which is awesome.
Smash.
Shout out to Andy, the winner of the Booth Creek Wagyu gift card. We move all of our attention now to Kelly in Vegas. How are you doing on this wonderful Thursday?
Hey, guys. Thursdays are usually great for me because all of the hard work is done. I love it. I've got my plays locked in and ready for this amazing 5 days ahead of us. We only have 16 football games left between college football and NFL, so we really need to soak all of this up until August.
Don't go breaking my heart, Kelly. I don't need that on this rainy Thursday in Kansas City, but I do want to ask you first and foremost, I think the most intriguing game in the playoffs this round is Green Bay at Chicago. Gonna be a snow game from what I've been seeing. Gonna be some accumulating snow throughout the game. Who do you like in this game and why?
You know, you're right. This is intriguing because these two teams have played.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Each other twice in the month. Well, last 6 weeks, basically. This will be the third time. Admittedly, I was on Green Bay both times. First time to get that nice interception from Caleb in the end zone there in Lambeau. Win by a half point. They're up 17-6. Or something like that, 16-7, one of those two. And I was like, oh, guys, I'm going to bed. Like, I don't need to stay up for this game. And I wake up, and my brother-in-law was like, did you watch the rest of that game? I go, what are you talking about? And he goes, you didn't watch the rest of the game for bed? And I was like, no. And, you know, Chicago came roaring back there at Soldier Field like they've really done all season long. And I think that's really what makes this game so intriguing is Chicago doesn't quit. Ben Johnson has done such a great job with that team. On the flip side, the Packers appear to just be limping into the playoffs, right? Four straight losses. Granted, Jordan Love's been out for a few games, and that hasn't helped things. But I think Malik Willis is an excellent backup. I know that he wasn't able to get that team any wins, but he fills in for Jordan Love just fine. I think Chicago is going to end up coming down to one thing. If they can run the ball, they can win this football game. Ultimately, I'd love to tease the Bears here, but I don't have anything to tease them with for this weekend, and that's the worst feeling ever. I think this game is going to be within a touchdown either way. I didn't get to the window with either team, but look out, like you mentioned, the weather this weekend in Chicago, the number one factor four games is not snow, it's not sleet, it's not rain, it's wind. Because if it's too windy, they're not going to be kicking. If it's too windy, they're not going to be passing. So who's the team with the better rushing success rate? Well, that would be the number two Bears.
So I like the Bears and I like the under if that's the case. Would you say that's okay to put the wager on that to kind of maybe parlay that into a two-leg, maybe take Bears money line and then take, because you, I mean, the Packers limping in, you know, I don't know what Wilson do in the playoffs, going to be a future Miami quarterback. I think if they can put a future bet on that as well, but under seems kind of like a nice play, right? If it's windy, snowy, cold, and they're going to run the ball. And I mean, I know the Bears defense is not the best, but fair assumption.
Here's the real reality.
Okay.
Wind does not always equate to unders. I'll say that, right? Because guess what happens? fumbles happen, pick sixes happen, bad things tend to happen with bad weather. So be wary. But I can see whenever you have an opportunity to make something that is correlated. So if you do believe it's Chicago and they're going to run the football and eat up the clock, win the game's going to probably go under the total. So if you believe those two are correlated, then I don't see why not.
Talking with Kelly in Vegas here on 96.5 The Fan, and the 10.5 spread with the Rams being favored over Carolina seems really, really big for a postseason game. It's one of the biggest, if not the biggest of all time in this round of the postseason. Like, what do you think of that spread?
Yeah, of course. At first glance, you're going, what?
Yeah.
Especially after we just saw the game on November 30th where the Panthers won the game outright. Matthew Stafford threw two picks in the first quarter and killed every single survivor pool. You're admittedly going, wait a minute, what am I missing? But, hey, I do a ton of shows with a ton of sharp guys, and they all bet the Rams. And they bet the Rams early. They laid 10 early on, and I thought, gosh, wow. You guys, I understand expecting Matthew Stafford not to have a bad game against Carolina once again. And admittedly, I love this Carolina team from the start. All season long, I said they're going to win the NFC South. But guess what? They didn't need to do very much to do that. 7-9. How ridiculous. This team is nothing to write home about. I do think that the Panthers might put up a fight. And if they put up a fight, it's going to be early. But I think ultimately the Rams are a significantly better team here. And we will see them be able to pull away late. I get when you watch the game a second time, number one, is it hard to beat a team twice? Yes. But watching that first game, the Panthers got every single bounce to go their way. And that is where I have to look at it objectively the second time around and say, okay, we know that's not going to happen, right? Those types of factors don't happen in the second game. We'll see what the weather's like there as well, because by all intents and purposes, early forecasts say it's going to be rainy and gross, just like the first time around. We'll see if the Panthers can keep it close. I don't want to get involved in this game. I have an old saying, you don't get rich laying double digits in the NFL, and you definitely don't get rich laying double digits on the road in the NFL.
Do you get rich putting money on Mike Tomlin and the Steelers playing at home on Monday night and looking into what the history says, what he does on there? Because 3-point dogs at home against Houston, that defensive front.
I'm so mad at myself, you guys. I sit here every single day in front of this computer, and I watch the market. And it was 3.5, and it was 3.5, and it was 3.5. Mm-hmm. And I went on a show yesterday, and I said, do not lay 3.5 with Houston. If you like Houston, 3 is the only answer. And if you like the Steelers, 3.5 is the only answer. And I said, all right, am I going to bet the Steelers team? And then it went to 3. And I'm like, okay, I would be a giant hypocrite if I said, you got to take the Steelers now at 3. No, 3 is the most key number in the NFL. So you have to be really wary here. Here's my problem. I love Aaron Rodgers, one of my favorite quarterbacks. I love Mike Tomlin, one of my favorite coaches. I'm just not sold on this Steelers team, right? We know that they needed a missed field goal by the Ravens to even get here. Granted, they are going to get DK Metcalf back, so that will be beneficial for this offense. But here's a Houston Texans team that I think has just kind of sandbagged it, right? They gave 20 points up to the Cardinals, 21 to the Raiders. They allowed 30 points last week to Riley Leonard, who threw for 270 yards and 2 touchdowns in his first career start. What is going on? I have done nothing but brag about this defense all season long, but their recent form is something that Aaron Rodgers could absolutely exploit. So I'm going to say you snooze, you lose on the Steelers plus 3.5. I don't think that one's coming back. At that point in time, you got to look, can the Steelers win this game at home? Yet again, it's January in the NFL. Check the weather report. You never know what to expect with Pittsburgh in January. But I do like the over in this game. If the conditions are clearer than expected, I think this could be an absolute utter shootout. CJ Stroud, we know, loves to sling it. And who's the old school gunslinger of the two? Mm-hmm. Well, that'd be Aaron Rodgers.
I love Buffalo and Jacksonville. I think that's my favorite game of the weekend. And then 10 minutes later, I'll say something else is my favorite game of the weekend. But I do think that one is. Is this Josh Allen's year? Are you riding with Josh Allen, or are you going the other way?
I love Josh Allen. Admittedly, one of my favorite quarterbacks in the NFL. I don't love Josh Allen here on the road. This is a Jaguars team that I think has played extraordinarily well this year. Now, we all know the Jaguars don't make the playoffs very often. The Bills are used to being there, and sometimes that does bode well for the team that's been there several times before. The only thing that's probably keeping me off just absolutely hammering the Jacksonville Jaguars, right? Like, we all got to talk about bankroll management. Don't go too crazy. But as soon as this line came out, I said, how can I not just lay it with Jacksonville? And then I started to look a little deeper into their schedule, and I thought, oh, the second half of the season, they play the Raiders, the Cardinals, the Jets, the Titans twice, and then the Colts, but both times without Daniel Jones. So I'm like, why do I love Jacksonville so much here? Well, that's because their passing offense is number 3 in EPA per dropback, number 4 in passing success rate. Trevor Lawrence is good Trevor Lawrence again, and we've seen him kind of regress over the past couple of years, well, since 2023 when they made the playoffs last. I think this is going to be a great game. I agree with you. Ultimately, it comes down to kicking. I think this is going to be a field goal game. And who's got the better kicker? Jacksonville. Cam Little, 67-yarder last week versus the Titans. I don't know if you guys saw it. I have been plagued by field goal kickers what feels like my entire life. Basically, since Martin Gramatica left Kansas State.
You stole it from me. I was going to say Martin Gramatica. You know, Martin Gramatica back in your day, huh?
You know, when you have a guy like Martin and you're a child, and it's just automatic, literally that was his nickname, mm-hmm. you expect these kickers to make field goals and point after touchdowns. Cam Little's pretty close to that. He's been really great for this team, and I've been excited when I do bet Jacksonville if it is going to come down to a field goal, and I think this is ultimately a field goal game. I think Jacksonville wins it. Cam Little is the probably the MVP of this one, but I agree with you. I think Buffalo-Jacksonville is by far going to be the most exciting game. I could see it easily being, you know, 27-24 type final.
Now that K-State's got their new coach, you betting them to win the Big 12?
Oh, boy. Listen, here's the reality. And I'm very hard on my teams, right? I'm a Denver Broncos fan. I know Kansas City loves to hear that. They're the number one overall seed, and I'm still over here bagging on that team. And I've admittedly been very hard on Kansas State football and basketball over the last couple of years because I do ultimately think that I expect them to win. Bill Snyder set a unrealistic precedence in me at a very young age. I think Colin Klein is going to be a good fit. I did not want him at first. I said, no, I don't. I do not want this. I want a Will Stein type. I want an offensive mastermind. The reality, though, is Kansas State needs someone that fits their culture as well. And Colin Klein fits that culture. And I know a lot of fans were very happy to see him hired back. So far, very excited to see some of his coaching staff. I would have loved to see a couple of the players that, you know, we're basically the backbone of our defense, not transfer away, but sometimes money talks and we only have so much money to go around.
Well, speaking,
are they going to win the big, go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, finish up.
I was going to say, do I think they're going to win the Big 12 in their first year? No, but if they don't win 9 games, I will keep the same fire everybody energy that I've had the last 2 years. That is going to be kind of how it always is with me. You're going to get all or nothing. I'm going to be bought in. I'm going to go to Dublin. I'm going to go to the bowl game. I'm going to have a great time, but I do expect to win. Easy schedule next year. 9 wins is the floor.
All right, Kelly in Vegas, tell us how we can win $1 million.
I know, it's really exciting. There's a bunch of different contests that I do on Splash, whether it's NFL, college football, college basketball, golf. So head over to splashsports.com. You guys can check out all my stuff that I have going all year round. We have 2 playoff survivors. So I like to do one at a lower price point. Mine and my best friend Ariel's is $25 to win $50,000. So I always say, listen, if you're a lower price point person, this is perfect for you. And when I say $50,000, that means it's guaranteed money. So whether the contest spills or not, it doesn't matter. And then Splash is doing one as well that has a huge overlay, $1 million. is the guaranteed prize, $150 to enter. I got three entries in this one because I don't think it's going to fill. And when I say that is, that means that they're going to guarantee whatever the difference is. Right now, there's almost 2,800 people in it. They need 7,400 for it to fill. I'll let you do the math between now and Saturday. You are going to have double pick weeks in the wild card and divisional rounds. So basically, you've got to map it out perfectly. And if you can do that, you are going to take home the $1 million prize or the $50,000 prize on mine. But splashsports.com/KellyInVegas is my commissioner page. Again, we're going to do a ton of stuff for March Madness, Super Bowl, lots of fun things coming up on the horizon. If you guys haven't got a chance to check out Splash yet, you're missing out.
Kelly in Vegas, we appreciate the time. And as always, go enjoy the rest of your day and enjoy the weekend of all this action and football.
Thanks, guys.
Absolutely. That is Kelly in Vegas. Coming up on the other side, it's Nate Taylor in Kansas City here on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is Fesco and Dusty on your home for Royals baseball. 96.5 The Fan, brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
If you had $150,000, put it on the Bears. Call it. Bears are winning. Bears will win this game. And Ben Johnson and Caleb Williams will have free real estate for 3 years. They lose this game? Oh, boy. Different
breaking
conversation.
News. Breaking news. Oh, boy. Breaking news. Are you ready for this? Jackass 5 will be released this summer.
Yeah. Damn
it. Isn't it July 26th?
June 26th. Yep.
Hell yeah.
Hell yes, baby.
Damn it, Bob.
What?
You had me all excited.
What? That doesn't get you excited? No, Jackass I'm 5 good. Is coming out?
You're like watching guys shoot bottle rockets out of their a-holes?
Yeah. Back in the day when we were on Blender, Johnny did that.
Oh, my.
One of the producers out there with the bottle rocket.
What? Shot it out of his ass?
Oh, yeah.
That's crazy.
I don't care how much money you gave me. I would never
this
shoot
this was the
fire.
Early 2000s, folks, okay?
Still, I'm
2001.
I'm not shooting a Roman candle out of my ass.
That's what it was.
Any amount of money? Oh, I'm...
Dude,
there's amount of money.
What's the, yeah. What's the amount of money?
That backwards and it's going to get in the...
Yeah, that's the thing.
It's going to get in the saddlebag.
Have you ever had a Roman candle go back? Like, when I was growing up...
We had Roman candle wars.
Yeah, exactly.
We had to hold it out.
Yeah, right?
Not like this,
no,
Bob.
No, but we would do that. You know, but
end?
Yeah, exactly. You look at it. We did stupid things with fireworks back then. We did a lot of dumb things, you know, with fireworks back in the day. Nobody ever did that, though. And then no. I saw that. I'm like, oh my God. Welcome to radio in 2001. Mac was 3 sucking his thumb, and I'm watching a guy shoot bottle rockets at his ass. And now look
now,
at us.
Now we're in the same spot, hey?
Yeah. Hey, man. Take this Roman candle and, like, you know, put it there.
Okay.
Yeah. I still think the craziest Jackass thing I ever saw was when Steve-O wasn't on Jackass. It was like a documentary. And Steve-O snorts a line of true Japanese wasabi.
Oh.
I mean, could you imagine?
Oh.
Bottle rock out of your ass, snort a line of wasabi.
Line of wasabi.
Yeah.
There's no
that's
question.
What we're at. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like,
was Jackass where they went into the Home Depot and took a dump in the display toilets, or was that Tom
yeah,
Green
no, that
who
was,
did that?
That was like the show.
Was that the show?
Yeah, they went into like the old like porcelain like thrift store, and the guy just goes down there. It's like Dave. Dave's the guy that does it. He's the one that did it. Yeah. Oh, man. I still think we were talking about Jared Allen earlier.
Yeah.
You remember that episode the clip in the movie, one of the first ones? Johnny Knoxville goes out and does like a cross pattern, and Jared Allen just completely, he's like,
oh, that's
I'm
right.
Johnny Knoxville.
Yeah.
Welcome to Jackass. And he's wearing like a Tennessee jersey, and he goes out over, and Jared Allen just absolutely clocks him.
How big a personality would Jared Allen be if he played in today's NFL?
Huge.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, Jared Allen was a big personality back in the day, but man, if he was playing in this era is suited for Jared Allen because he was ahead of his time. With the outfits and all that kind of good stuff. I remember his first
the
Halloween.
Jersey number?
Like yeah, right, Minshew, the jersey number. Yeah.
He was 69.
Yeah.
We know why.
I want to say that the year that he was a rookie, they made the rookies dress up for Halloween. And I think they were all like cheerleaders or something like that. I vaguely remember like Jared Allen dressed as a cheerleader, like something bizarre. And I was like, that guy's funny, right?
He was on Hard Knocks, right? With the Chiefs.
Well, he was drafted by Vermeil, so yeah, then he he was.
Because I remember there, I feel like there was an episode, and he goes out to eat, and this is when Jared had gone sober. Yeah. Like, he had stopped drinking, and the guy's like, what can I get you guys all to drink? And I think a couple guys ordered a beer, and he's like, I'll do an O'Doul's. And the guy goes, seriously? He goes, yeah, seriously. And the guy's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, dude.
Imagine
like,
that conversation today. What do you want? Right. I'll take an Athletic. Nobody thinks twice about it. You know, right. Back then, O'Doul's.
Right, yeah.
I used to think, and I don't know, maybe you did it as well. I'm like, why am I going to drink the calories and not get the effect of the beer? You know?
I think if the effect of the beer had kind of ruined me, then I would probably, you know, maybe to feel socially acceptable.
Yeah.
Obviously, with the things that are legal today, I would just be California sober.
Absolutely. You know, but so. I was also in my early 20s back Fair. Then, you know, and I'm right. like, you know, that things that play at 48 did not play at 23, you know.
Was it Jared Allen's car that had the steer horns?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I didn't know if you'd mentioned that. Yeah.
No, I didn't, but okay. No, he did, yeah.
Yeah, he had like I forget what the car was, but I know he had like
it was like a Cadillac or something.
Yeah, yeah. It was awesome.
Yeah.
God, what
he would be so good in today's NFL.
I will say, one or the other before we get to Nate Taylor, better send off in retirement on Twitter, Jared Allen or Marshawn Lynch?
Jared Allen.
Because Lynch had the shoes over the telephone line, and it just had the peace sign, and then Jared Allen's just riding off in the sunset.
I mean, Jared Allen dressed as a cowboy riding off on a horse.
Man.
Jared Allen would be the most popular NFL player today, I think. I really do. Just with his personality and everything, people would absolutely love him.
He ripped his pants at the Hall of Fame.
All right, man.
He's the only man in history to win a race in a hot dog costume and break national NFL news.
It's baby laugh.
Here's Nate Taylor from ESPN with Fesco and Dusty on your home for Chiefs football, 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It's time to talk to Nate Taylor, ESPN's insider here on 96.5 The Fan. Nate, you know me very well. You know I am a joyful, fun, non-serious person. Unfortunately, I don't get to be that with this first question. What's the update you got for us on Rashee Rice, my man?
Well, you know, I wrote about this on ESPN. I think we posted the story late last night after going through rigorous, you know, research and you know, reaching out to the alleged victim. I want to make this clear. If the allegations are true, based on the Instagram post, based on what woman who is, the ex-girlfriend of Rashee Rice, the mother of his two children, it's horrific, honestly, based on the images and her account. Now, she has not said anything since. I want to make it very clear to the audience that, like, there's been no police report filed for domestic abuse, whether that's in Dallas, Texas, which I believe is where she lives now, and obviously in Kansas, which is where she lived over the past, couple of seasons. It's really grim. Football obviously takes a third, fourth step back to all of this, but if the allegations are true, if there's evidence to corroborate what she said, then it spells doom for Rashee Rice's football career, in my opinion. And so we'll just keep on it in terms of the reporting and see if she comes forward with a police report. That is yet to happen, but domestic violence is terrible. We all know this. It's horrific. The damage it does to the victims, the fact that there are two children involved, basic tragic in a lot of ways. So just honestly terrible based on the appearance of it. Now we're just going to try to see, and I know the NFL is involved. The Chiefs are aware of this. We should probably make that clear too. Mm-hmm. They're probably trying to gather as much research or as much information and evidence as we can, or the public will hopefully be interested in demanding as this moves forward. But yeah, just it's if any of it is true, it spells doom for Rashee Rice's career. That's probably the simplest way to say it.
Talking with Nate Taylor of ESPN, our Chiefs insider. So when we look now at the offseason, and that has already begun, obviously, and whatnot, what do you think is the number one goal for this offseason for this team?
The issues continue to arise, right? And I do think the playoffs that we're going to see, especially in the first round and even in the divisional round, they can help inform you because you know those are the teams that you are willing to compare yourself to in terms of like, hey, this team had more success this year. We're actually, you know, in reverse, you know, circumstances based on, you know, the last 6 years. I guess the last 7 years. It's amazing that they went to seven straight AFC championship games. So I would always say that, like, improving the running game shouldn't be that big of a deal or that big of an objective. They should clear that bar, I think. You know, Travis Kelce is a big factor in all of this. Again, I'm of the belief that he will likely return, you know, for another year in 2026. The question is, you know, how much does Mahomes' rehab, how does his rehab go throughout the entire offseason? And I think their biggest hurdle is, can you improve the pass rush, like, legitimately, to where it can be a factor, to where you can have consistent pressure on the opposing quarterback, to where you can actually get off the field on third and long. I know this Rashee Rice allegation puts things into, you know, perspective, obviously, but, like, you know, the Chiefs don't really have, like, a dominant receiver anyway. And, you know, now receiver and or pass catcher in general is pretty high too. But I know I'm not the first person that says, hey, maybe you go veteran option with running back and then you try to emphasize defensive line in the draft. Based on where they're picking ninth, you have a chance to take truly the best player available that's not a quarterback. And so I'm totally okay with that strategy. But they got to get better in terms of just rushing the passer, improving their run game. And I don't know how the group of pass catchers is going to look in 2026, but that'll be interesting because, you know, that group has to get better as well.
So you talk about pass catchers, Nate, and we saw yesterday that Connor Embry is no longer with the Kansas City Chiefs. Bigger emphasis, a good, solid wide receiver coach or an offensive coordinator?
Ooh, can I have both?
Yeah, because, I mean, I'm just going on the theory that Andy calls the plays, you bring in an offensive coordinator, it's new season, same episode, but with the wide receivers coach, it seems like there's a little bit of separation where they can be really all in with those position players.
Yeah, and that needs to improve. I can't disagree with it. You know, there I said it multiple times on this station that I really had no defensive argument for Connor Embry. So it's no surprise that he was, you know, fired because the Chiefs receivers, based on the amount of investments you put in, right? That includes Rashee Rice, second round pick, that includes Xavier Worthy, first round pick. Have those guys gotten marketably better since they were, you know, NFL rookies? And that is an answer that's pretty easy to anyone who watched this team over the last 2 to 3 years. You know, I know there's some sloppiness, there's some alignment issues. You know, the Chiefs really struggle to beat man-to-man coverage. You know, all of these are techniques that need to be really honed in and focused by a receivers coach that's going to get the absolute best, is going to develop. You know, that's one of the biggest issues. And I know I wrote about this, I think it was last week, guys, but, you know, it's still puzzling and almost befuddling, guys, that the Chiefs do not have a 1,000-yard rusher since Kareem Hunt's rookie season in 2017. Mm-hmm. And from the day they traded Tyreek Hill away, they have yet to have a 1,000-yard receiver. And again, given the amount of, like, hey, Marquez Valdez-Scantling, you know, Sky Moore, you know, these were all players that were under Connor Embry's responsibilities and duties, and none of those players really got marketably better. And that obviously includes Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy, when we know they are very talented on the football field. If you can get a, you know, more qualified, dedicated, you know, I want to say, like, who can provide more accountability, but honestly, like, just more solutions to what you can see on the field, that wide receivers coach can do a marketably, you know, seismic improvement for this pass catching group. Because one of the things that whoever that next coach is going to have to say, you know, this is what your quarterback prefers. Like, this is where the sideline is, Xavier Worthy. Hey, this is what teams are going to present to you if Rashee Rice is on the field next season. And whoever they draft, like, I still think, hey, you know, we didn't learn a ton about Jalen Royals. But I still think the Chiefs will probably draft a receiver, would be my guess. At some point, maybe the mid rounds in the draft. Hey, whoever that player is, like, you got to give them solutions. You got to give them ways to improve immediately. And it's understandable that, you know, for as much as people were clamoring, I know the receivers themselves were frustrated with, you know, their own position coach.
Oh, wow. Okay, good. That's good to know that it wasn't just us looking at it from the outside. It was the players on the inside as well were like, look, man, let's call it what it is. The guy was a running back and never coached before, and now all of a sudden is a wide receiver coach in the NFL. That's a fail by Andy.
It's a gamble, and, you know, it just did not work. There's really no way around it. You know, when fans understand that this is an unusual path to being an NFL position coach, you're like, okay, I understand that. That's fine. But also, like, you've got to be someone who is, I think, a little bit more in the prodigy, you know, sort of type when it comes to, like, a position coach who's obviously, like, an early riser, someone who's, like, got brilliant ideas. And we just never really saw that from Connor Embry. And there's not enough evidence on the field to say, like, oh, Kadarius Toney knows where to line up. I mean, like, I could just name 8 receivers that, you know, Connor Embry had a hands-on impact. And again, none of those players reached NFL stardom, really. And their best example was really Rashee Rice, and he's got his own issues to deal with. So, yeah, the receivers were more frustrated. And I always used to make this I always used to sort of, like, quietly say this out loud. I know that's really hard for people to believe, but, like, Xavier Worthy got – like, you can look at it, and it's factual. Xavier Worthy as a receiver in his rookie season got better the absolute moment DeAndre Hopkins arrived. I could argue that DeAndre Hopkins and Travis Kelce have been more impactful to the development of Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy than Connor Embry. That's a problem.
Nate, I want to ask you, tonight there's a pretty solid college football game on between Miami and Ole Miss, and
yeah,
I'm in fantasy land, man. I want Reuben Bain to be in red and yellow.
Oh, put a spotlight on him, kids. Yeah, if you care about your football team here in my beloved hometown, I wish ESPN, my employer, would just say, you know what, for your city, for your team, if we had ability to, like, push a button, I would just love a solo camera on Bain, because what he did to Ohio State was really eye-opening. Like, you knew he was a good player, but it's like, this is incredible. Like, did Ohio State just not – were they just not prepared? Did they not understand, like, they didn't really make that many great adjustments in the game either. But, like, I know he has short arms. Yes, I know Jay Binkley's going crazy over the idea that, like, he does not fit a certain profile.
I don't care.
But the juice is there, man. If Bay provides similar juice tonight against a more spread them out, you know, a more modernized version. I'm okay with Ohio State's offense because it's a little bit more traditional. Ole Miss is like, we know who we are. We're spreading you out, and we're trying to, like, you know, quick strike and take things over the top. And they have a better mobile quarterback than obviously Ohio State presents at this point. So if Bain can look similar, again, I guess a different offense, a different quarterback, bigger stakes, yeah, man, some of these measurables might not matter, because I always understand why evaluators are like, hey, you want to understand who the person is. Second biggest thing is, man, it's the tape. Like, if the tape is undeniable, like, you kind of have to lean on that. So, Bain was incredible in the quarterfinal. Now let's see what he does tonight in the semifinal.
Give me an upset this weekend in the NFL playoffs.
Jacksonville.
Okay. You like T-Law over J-Al?
It's a team sport, ladies and gentlemen. It's a team sport. And one of the more brilliant things about Patrick Mahomes is he kind of made a team sport not feel like a team sport. That's how good he is. So we're asking Josh Allen and really James Cook to do marvelous work against a pretty competent defense in Jacksonville. And I think there are more ways to exploit Buffalo's defense than Jacksonville's defense. I know from a betting perspective and from an experience standpoint, Buffalo is the favorite. I understand that. But there's a pattern of Sean McDermott getting his team to the postseason and then his defense utterly collapsing. Now you're telling me Trevor Lawrence is playing the best football of his career with a Liam Cohen led offense that has a lot more solutions than I was maybe anticipating in year one of a rookie head coach. If the Jaguars are really going to do something this year, this is a really nice start for them because I don't know if I trust Buffalo's defense. And one of the things I can trust as you get to the playoffs is an improving NFL quarterback sort of reaching his prime at home and a head coach who has really guided this team, I think, really well. I know he probably won't win Coach of the Year, but what Liam Cohen did in Jacksonville is quite remarkable. So if you want a legitimate upset, that would be the one. I think a second one, and it's going to break my heart, guys. Like, sometimes Jordan Love can just, like, get into a zone, and so I'm a little bit leery for the Chicago Bears if Jordan Love all of a sudden plays to his maximum potential. But I think the biggest upset and what could be the more seismic result in wild card weekend is Jacksonville beating Buffalo.
All right, Nate, before we let you go, I want to go back to something you just said. You said football is a team sport, and Patrick Mahomes has made it very much an individual sport because of how good he is. Will the Chiefs take a step back this year and realize it can't be an individual sport anymore and truly go out and surround him with the weapons that he needs, not just for next year, but for moving forward?
Yeah, I think they know that. Okay. I truly think they know that. And I think for Brett Veach, the most sizable example of this, I could say, was 2020, right? Mm-hmm. Because Mahomes was so good that season. Obviously, they went on a run. They had a bunch of injuries. The man to this day, and I will not argue with anyone. I know what my eyes watch. Forget about statistics. The best Super Bowl performance that Patrick Mahomes ever played was in 2020 in Tampa with an absolute horrific offensive line. That was obviously due to injuries and receivers who could not catch the ball that day. And that even includes Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce. Mahomes played out of his mind. And it was a reminder that, like, oh, yeah, that's right. It's a team game. And you kind of need to better support your quarterback. So, of course, they had a very good draft in 2021. They had an even better draft in 2022. It fills out the team. Obviously, your quarterback goes to an even higher level, makes an MVP run in 2022. And, you know, the dynasty is continued. The reason why Mahomes is so great, guys, is because, again, and I know I'm not the first person to say this. I know it's been fun to kind of read it on Twitter. But, like, he took Sky Moore, Kadarius Toney, Marquez Valdez-Scantlin, Justin Watson, and Rashee Rice. Thankfully, he had Travis Kelce also reach an absolute Hall of Fame peak in 2023 to get them back to the Super Bowl, let alone they won the Super Bowl that year. One of my favorite moments is Chris Jones literally getting up off his seat on the bench in overtime of that Super Bowl against the 49ers and saying, where the hell is Marquez Valdez-Scantling going? Well, Chris, he's going backwards, even though he had a 6-yard gain on first down. That's okay. We'll throw the ball to Marquez Valdez-Scantling again, and we'll still convert on third down, and we'll still score the game-winning touchdown in overtime. So, we know Mahomes has the talent, right? We know he has the leadership, the mentality, the moxie, the wherewithal to do what is necessary. But yeah, it's still a team sport. You still got to have somebody outside of Chris Jones who can rush the quarterback. You still have to have someone who your quarterback can rely on that's not named Travis Kelce. And again, the organization is basically like, please come back because, you know, we understand what you provide both on a statistical production level and what you just mean to the locker room and just like your professionalism, honestly. And so I know Patrick's going to do his best to try to get Travis to understand that so that they can play one more time together as teammates. But we're going to realize this throughout the next month, guys. It's a team game because I'm not sure Josh Allen can do a 2023 version of what Patrick Mahomes accomplished. And he doesn't have Travis Kelce. His best teammate is James Cook. I don't know if I trust, you know, Buffalo's receivers. He's just going to have to go into like Superman mode. Same thing with you know, Justin Herbert. He's got a bunch of injuries. Drake May has never done this before. At least he has a very good coach in Mike Vrabel. But, like, the AFC is so wide open, and it is going to be reminiscent of, okay, what unit do I trust? What quarterback do I trust the most? What coach won't put us in a disadvantage late in the fourth quarter? Is that Sean Payton? I don't know. Is it Mike Vrabel? I guess we'll see. Well, Liam Cohen, he'd be scheming it up for Trevor Lawrence. Can Trevor Lawrence execute in the fourth quarter? I have serious questions about Sean McDermott. And again, if the Bills lose, he could be out of a job a week from now. So if there's so much to go on in the AFC that it's going to tell you, okay, do I trust Houston's defense? Like, I think I should. Denver's defense is very good, but, like, I don't trust Bo Nix in a playoff game of absolute importance. I haven't seen it yet. So we're going to really miss Patrick is all I'm trying to say for the next month or so.
Nate, we appreciate it. When the football season is officially over, I think we should go down to Pine Street and get a pizza at Fitters and Wings at Heroes, if you're down for that.
Hell yeah, brother. I miss Heroes.
So do I.
Dude, I miss it so much. I miss Pine Street. You know, I can load it up for one night. You know, we can reverse the clock. The problem is my body hurts this morning, and I didn't even do anything last night, ladies and gentlemen.
We'll be all right. Nate, we appreciate it. Keep doing the Lord's work. We'll talk to you soon.
All right, fellas. Thank you so much.
That is ESPN's insider for the Kansas City Chiefs, Nate Taylor. Coming up on the other side, some streaming news and also some Andy Reid conversation before we get to in studio with Royals manager Matt Cotrero at 9 o'clock. He'll be with us for the entire hour here, we think, on 96.5 The Fan, your home for Kansas City sports.
This is voice of the Wildcats, Wyatt Thompson, and you're listening to Fesco and Dusty on your home for K-State Athletics, 96.5 The Fan.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues.
Shout out to those that know. Dusty, if you and Nate ever plan a trip to the Berg, let me know. I may fly back for a weekend and bring my old roommates, Micah and Denver. All are welcome. That was the deal back in the day. We'd go to Fitters, get a large buffalo chicken pizza, go right next door to Heroes, drink a Hurricane while we waited for our wings, and then we went back and watched Tony Moyaki catch that ball. College.
Tony Moyaki. Awesome.
Oh, it was great.
That sounds like a blast.
It was awesome because it was like the tavern style pizza. Like,
oh, that's good. Yeah, the really thin crust. Mama. Yeah, that's what they have over there at the Sand Trap. They got that kind of that tavern crust.
We'll smash that on Friday.
Yeah, it's gonna be good. Anselmo may show up though. Just
he
so
better.
You know. He better be there.
Hello,
right?
America.
He's one of the only reasons I go.
Yeah. Now his head just got bigger than it already is. I mean.
What happens more, Surfsides for me or Diet Cokes for Anselmo?
Diet Cokes for Anselmo. He pounds those because they're free, you know? Maloney's going to start charging $2 a fill.
Mm. Damn, ate at Heroes last night. Still great food. What'd you get? Tell me what you had. Mac, a.k.a. Mini Bink, you got some stats for Bob to support why you love Sean McDermott.
Well, it's not. Gosh, no.
Do you want to have him as your coach?
No.
He
wants
him
as a defensive coordinator. He says Spags doesn't have what McDermott has. Kiss my ass.
So what I actually think is Sean McDermott is on the hot seat. I just want to correct a little bit of what Nate Taylor said.
The insider for ESPN.
Oh, we're doing a little
because I think it's a common
correction. That's fine.
I think it's a common misconception what Nate Taylor said. And I think it's the majority of people think this. And especially
a second. Yes. Perception always outweighs the truth.
Yeah, 100%.
It really does. Now, however you perceive something, we can give you all the facts. And believe me, I've been through this for a couple of years. We can give you all the facts. You're still going to believe what you want to believe.
Yep.
So go ahead.
And the national perception is that way. And even it's heightened in Kansas City, the perception of Sean McDermott being, oh, he can't do it defensively. Well, it's really against the Chiefs. So in the playoffs since 2020, the Bills versus the AFC field, they are 7-1. They score 28 points per game. They allow 18.9 points per game. Versus Kansas City, they are 0-4. They score a little over 28 points per game. And they allow 35 points a game. They allow over half. They allow basically double the amount of points to Kansas City than they do anyone else. McDermott has done his job defensively as a coach in the playoffs versus everyone else but Kansas City.
Yeah, and that's because Andy Reid is greater than Sean McDermott. I mean, it just goes back to that, right? And
yes.
Patrick Mahomes is greater than Josh Allen. And for the majority of this run, the Chiefs have had a better team from 1 to 53 than Buffalo did. Be interesting to see if they matched up in the playoffs this weekend.
Yeah.
What the outcome of that. If the Chiefs were playing Buffalo in the playoffs this weekend, would you be comfortable picking the Chiefs?
No.
Like everyone's full strength? Yeah, anything can happen.
Yeah, right. Would you feel comfortable picking the Chiefs?
This
year's Chiefs. Yeah, I would say no. I wouldn't feel comfortable picking them.
I know it'd be a close game.
Yeah, it definitely would be. Yeah.
Chiefs would make six mistakes. The Bills would make five, and the Bills probably win by three.
Yeah, and they get their first playoff win. Yeah. That's why this is such a big year. This is very much reminiscent of the Peyton Manning stuff that you were talking about earlier with Tom Brady. Tom was never out, you know, when Peyton went down, when Tom went down with the knee injury, what was that, 06, 07, was that the year that Peyton finally won a Super Bowl?
I believe it was later because his Peyton knee injury
in 06.
06. And then, so the knee injury was 07 or 08, right?
I think it was 08.
I think it's 2010.
No, because Todd Haley and all those guys were already here. They came in 2000.
I think 07, 08 was Randy Moss.
Yeah.
Okay, that's right.
I think
09 maybe?
I think it was the 09 season when it happened.
Okay.
When Bernard Pollard.
Yes, it was September of 2009. You're absolutely right about that.
Yeah.
Or maybe it was 08.
You want a hot take?
Yeah.
You want it now?
Yes, please.
Andy Reid will be the longest tenure head coach this time next week.
I disagree with that. It's Mike Tomlin now. I don't think Tomlin's getting fired, but shocking news is that Andy Reid is the second now longest tenured coach with his team in the NFL.
Heck yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's awesome.
13 years. Harbaugh was number two at 18. Tomlin's with 20.
Sure. Yeah.
2019 or 20.
Only the third coach in their history.
So. Yeah. It's insane. But I don't think Tomlin's going to get fired at all. I mean, I would have been shocked if Harbaugh kept his job. I'll be doubly shocked if Tomlin gets fired. Now, if Tomlin walks away, then that's a different conversation. I don't think he's going to walk away unless he's going to walk into another job. And Pittsburgh just is not an organization that just moves on from coaches, you know? So I don't know that he will be, but the fact that he's the second longest tenured coach now in the NFL at 13 years with Kansas, it feels like yesterday, guys, that he came here to Kansas City. I mean, it really does feel like it was a blink of an eye and it's all gone. There will be somebody in this year's draft, I promise you, that will not know that Andy Reid was the coach of the Philadelphia Eagles. Think about 100%. Guys getting drafted at 21, 22 years old. Subtract 13 years from that. How old does that make them? At 22 minus 13, 12, 11, 10, 9.
Yeah, J.J. McCarthy.
Right in the line.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
That's right on the line. Yeah,
it's right on the line of when you remember stuff.
Yeah, when you start to really pay attention and remember.
So as a 9-year-old kid, do you have any idea that Andy Reid was the head coach? Probably not. Nope. And then you get here to Kansas City and they go, yeah, when he was in Philly. What do you mean Philly? This will be the draft where we get somebody that has no idea that Andy Reid was the Eagles coach.
Wow. I couldn't even tell you what happened when I was 19, let alone 9.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. Like it's, you know, to that point, like, you know, people don't have that memory anymore that are coming into the league because they're too young.
Real quick before Matt Cotrero and his wife join us in studio, would you rather have Tomlin or Harbaugh as your coach? And you're the New York Giants.
Tomlin.
Harbaugh.
Okay. Matt Cotrero joins us in the studio with the Royals manager next here on 96.5 The Fan. You're home for the Kansas City Royals.
You're listening to Bob Fesco.
I'm surprised nobody punched him in the jaw yet.
And Dusty Likens.
He's a hoe, and I want that known.
Brought to you by Golden Oak Lending. Do you need extra cash? Golden Oak Lending can convert your home's equity into cash in as little as 14 days. Let Golden Oak Lending cure your blues. Your home for Kansas City sports. 96.5 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.